2, 3, F.
That sounds like Zeppelin to me.
Zeppelin.
That sounds like Zeppelin. All right. Nick DiGilio here, everybody, on 720 WGN. Always delighted to welcome different groups of musicians every few weeks in the room from Great Moments in Vinyl. Great Moments in Vinyl is presenting Led Zeppelin 1 and, well, Led Zeppelin and Led Zeppelin 3. That's the actual titles of the record. And it's going to be this Thursday, May 12th at Martyrs, paying tribute to your favorite albums. That's Great Moments in Vinyl. And joining me back in studio, Lindsey Cochran. How are you, man?
Thank you once again.
No, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure.
We love music, and part of our passion is sharing the music we love with people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're in the right place. You know, Zeppelin.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
Who doesn't love Zeppelin? So many people, when I said we're going to do Led Zeppelin, the next show, oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Let me introduce the other two people that are in here. Judith Wyrock, because she can,
exactly.
Is here. And last time you were in here, it was for the Janis Joplin tribute,
yeah.
And you belted.
That was a great show, and this one promises to be an awesome show as
That's
well.
Great.
So I'm really excited about it.
Now, are you doing all the vocals?
No, Elton and I are sharing a vocal.
Okay.
Alton Smith, whom you've not had a chance to meet yet.
Okay.
I'm trying to get him down here.
Okay, cool. Cool. Okay. And then, of course, it's Richard Pettengill. Richard, who every time he comes to the studio, he blows my mind with whatever music story or music experience or concert that he's been to. Richard, how are you, man?
Good to see you again.
Good to see you guys. I want to mention before we get into it, many of the musicians, almost all the musicians that you gather together, Lindsey, and everybody who puts this together, they all at some point pass through the halls of the Old Town School of folk.
In one way, shape, or form.
Right. And I was there earlier yesterday evening, and I saw Amy Mann.
It's a great place for music.
A beautiful room. Yeah. And it was great. And Richard, we were talking off the air. You're going tonight.
Yeah, I'm going tonight.
You're going to go tonight. Yeah. Let me tell you something. It was great. Small three-piece. It's just her, guy on keys and piano, and her producer, a guy on bass.
Great.
And that's it. And her with acoustic guitar. It's beautiful. It's perfect for the room. Her set tonight, I hope it's as good as what you get tomorrow, because her set last night was great.
Okay.
What a voice.
Yeah. Oh, man. And she's so charming and so funny.
Such a great presence.
And such a great songwriter. We're going to talk about our favorite concerts of all time a little bit later on. Before you guys get out of here, I'd like to have you throw us, because we talk about first concerts all the time.
Right.
And we'll do that. I know that you guys had mentioned off the air to Dan, because we always talk about the first album you ever buy. You guys are talking about the second.
Or even the second concert.
The second concert. We'll do that as well. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to talk about that later. But it was a great experience. Old Town School of Folk is great. For those people who need reminding, Lindsey, tell everybody about Great Moments in Vinyl.
Great Moments in Vinyl is this work of passion that I put together with very capable musicians here in Chicago. The idea being that, as I said before, we love music. How can we share that with friends? I was taking classes at Old Town School,
right,
sitting in with instructors like Richard or John Mead, whom you met recently,
yes,
and Andrea Bunch and some other people. And I was thinking, these people know how to play these songs. Why don't we put together a set and put them in a club somewhere and have some fun? And then me, with my radio background, I figured I'll be the guy that narrates the show and tells some stories about the music.
And that's what sort of sets it apart. I mean, what sets it apart is that you get, like, incredible musicians. I am lucky that every few weeks you guys come in here and bring in a collection of musicians that just blow my mind.
Well, that's been the secret. I mean, the fact that these good musicians don't have to commit to being in a band.
Right.
They commit to one show.
Right. To do music that they love.
Exactly.
Which is really, which is going to make the show good.
For example, Alton, who is singing with us, has this wonderful tenor voice. He's the guy that led our Elton John show.
Yeah.
When we did Tumbleweed Connection and Madman Across the Water.
Right.
So he was there playing piano and singing all those Elton John songs.
Right.
So I mean, just find the right person for the right right gig.
Yeah. Well, and then you do a tribute to these great albums, and in this case, Zeppelin's self-titled first album and Zeppelin III, and then you tell stories about the band and about the songs and about the background. So you give people like a history of what's happening.
I chat about the music in a sense. I mean, I do script it out so that I don't lose my way.
Yeah.
But the idea being, it's like, you know, you've known this song, you grew up with it, you have a feel for it. But did you know this about the song?
Right.
So, I mean, the great one I always tell is about the song, the Led Zeppelin tune, What Is and What Should Never Be. That's a song that Robert Plant wrote about a woman he wanted to have an affair with, who happened to be his wife's younger sister.
Right.
What Is and What Should Never Be.
Right, which is my favorite Zeppelin song.
He ended up marrying her anyway.
He did, yeah, which is my favorite Zeppelin song. Have you guys, by the way, have you heard that Ozzy's missing?
Yes.
What? They're looking for him.
Ozzy Osbourne is missing.
He went off with this hairstylist
had an affair with the hairstylist. Apparently Sharon kicked him out of the house after 33 years of marriage. And now he's missing.
His kids are like, where's dad?
Like, where's the... They're trying to track down Ozzy. He checked into a hotel in Beverly Hills, then checked out, and they can't find him.
Poor Ozzy probably doesn't know where he is.
That's what I was just going to say. Ozzy's like, Sharon! She's not going to help you now, Ozzy.
Yeah.
So I hope he's okay. I mean, he is the man. He's Ozzy. You guys have done Sabbath, right?
Not yet.
No, you gotta.
We got a lot on our list.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that a little bit later on. All right, let's talk about now. You've done Zeppelin before.
We did albums 2 and 4,
right?
As our fourth concert, as a matter of fact, almost 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. God, has it been that long?
It was 2 years ago that we did the Zeppelin, but 3 years. The band will be 3 years old in August. So this will be our 19th show.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
Yeah. Have you come down for every one of them?
No. I think we. My neurons didn't fire and had me make the connection with you until about halfway through.
I think.
Was it Fleetwood Mac? Yeah, I think
it was it Fleetwood Mac the first
about.
One?
So that would have been two shows after Zeppelin.
Wow. All right. So. Well, so you did 2 and 4, so you thought, well, we got to do 1 and 3.
Richard is a huge fan of 3.
Okay. Now I noticed I was looking at your, you know, sort of the press release about the show, and you word in the press release, it's worded that it's the controversial third album.
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit about that, Richard. I happen to love Zeppelin 3.
So do I.
And you know, and obviously, You know, coming after Zeppelin 1 and Zeppelin 2, it was a departure.
Absolutely.
So tell everybody what it is about Zeppelin 3 that is controversial or separated it.
Well, basically, you know, for me, it's like a judge of somebody's character as to whether they like that record or not.
Right.
You know, I just basically dismiss anybody that says it's bad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that third album was such an act of artistic courage and audacity on their part.
Yeah.
Having, like, blown everybody away with those first two albums, with the heaviness of them. And there were some acoustic elements, but to, like, devote so much time to, you know, acoustic harmonies and quieter sounds was just, I thought, just amazing.
And, I remember, you know, I mean, obviously, by the time... Zeppelin 2 was 68?
69. Yeah.
69. Okay, so I guess I do remember when Zeppelin 3 came out. I guess I'm that old.
70.
Oh, no, I remember it. Yeah. Because Zeppelin 2 was one of the albums, I think we talked about this when you guys came on to talk about... we talked about this. We talked about this before, I think.
Sure.
Zeppelin 2 was a major album in my life. Like,
sure.
Zeppelin 2.
Well, yeah,
major.
A lot of people.
And it was the only album that I've had on every format.
Huh.
I had it on vinyl. I had it on 8-track, and I had it on cassette.
Oh.
Yeah. And CD.
And CD.
Yeah, and CD. Yeah, so I had it on
MP3
all...
now. Don't forget MP3.
Yeah, I don't have that. Yeah, I mean, you know, I have it. I have it, but I don't. I listen. I still, you know, I have a CD player at home, so I do. And I have a turntable. So I do that kind of... But I don't have Zeppelin 2 on my... I don't know where my Zeppelin 2 vinyl is. Anyway, but that album was like a monumental thing for me.
Absolutely.
As a kid. I'm like 4 or 5 years old, and I remember going over to my aunt's house and seeing the album and just listening to it and became obsessed with Zeppelin 2. And you know, as I got older, Zeppelin 3 was the album, and I caught a lot of flack from my friends. Because, like, if we were at, like, you know, somebody's basement or something, and I put on Zeppelin 3, they'd be like, why are you putting this on, man?
Too mellow.
And I'm like, this album's awesome. What, are you kidding me? And you know, I mean, they're all like, yeah, but Physical's right there, man. You know, like, And you don't have to get up as often. It's two albums, man. Just stack it up and, you know. But I would always, I opt for Zeppelin III a lot. I think there's beautiful songs on
Wonderful
Zeppelin.
Well, you know what's so interesting about Zeppelin III? I mean, all that acoustic stuff. Yeah, there was stuff on 1 and 2 that was acoustic. But here on 3, they really explored it. And that paves the way for 4, where there's that little song at the end of side 1 that opens with a folky section with recorders playing and climbing a stairway to heaven.
Right, I don't know
that
song. I've never heard it.
Yeah, so anyway, that it paved the way for what became the most popular song in rock and roll.
You know, I think it's because, you know, I mean, they did acoustic stuff on all their records, obviously. I mean, it was something they touched on. But Zeppelin III is predominantly an acoustic record. Mm-hmm. Like, the majority of the songs on it are acoustic or acoustic driven. I mean, there's heavy stuff on it, clearly, but I mean, most, like, I'm at, you know, like, when I think of Zeppelin III, the first thing that pops into my head is Tangerine. That's the first song that pops into my head.
The Immigrant Song?
No, it's not and I love the Immigrant Song. I mean, it can, you know, I mean, that riff, forget it, but I don't know, for some reason, Tangerine is the song that really stands out for me. Like, I think that is a gorgeous, gorgeous song.
It is.
And unlike anything. And the other thing about Zeppelin III, and we have to break here. The other thing about Zeppelin III, and we'll talk more about Zeppelin I, obviously, but is the album cover. I remember when I was a kid, because it had that little wheel that you could turn, it would change the little circles and the images on the record. And when I was a kid, I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life, man. And then, you know, like, as you get older and your friends all blow weed and everybody's high, they sit in somebody's basement, they listen to Zeppelin III, and they turn the wheel on the cover of Zeppelin III, and they look at it for 4 hours.
And weed is falling out.
Yeah, right. And because they got the seeds out of the album that way. There used to be seeds in marijuana, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Really?
I've got a Robert Plant quote for you. You're talking about Led Zeppelin III. I'll save it for.
Save it. All right. Let's hear another one as we go to a commercial and the news, because we got a break here for the news. Let's hear another Zeppelin tune. This is Great Moments in Vinyl. They will be celebrating Led Zeppelin I and Led Zeppelin III this Thursday night at Martyrs at 8 o'clock, and they'll take us out to the break right now. Babe, I'm going to leave you. That's all there is to it. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back more. Great Moments in Vinyl, celebrating Zeppelin, right here on WGN.
2, 3, and...
Lying, cheating, hurting, that's all you seem to do. Messing around every guy in town, putting me down for thinking of someone new. Always the same, playing your games, drive me insane, trouble's gonna come to you.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are back. And that, of course, is Led Zeppelin, Great Moments in Vinyl. And in the studio is Judy Weirock, Richard Pettengill, and Lindsay Cochran, who are parts of Great Moment in Vinyl. Great Moments in Vinyl is a unique experience. You pay tribute to some great records. You hear some stories, incredible musicians. And they're paying tribute to Zeppelin with Zeppelin 1 and Zeppelin 3. Thursday night, the 12th, at 8 o'clock at Martyrs, and so we were talking about Zeppelin III before the break, and we want to get this. I want to get to Zeppelin I as well, and I mean the legend of Zeppelin I is that they recorded it in like an extraordinary short amount of time.
Right. 30 hours.
It was 30 hours
over 3 days.
And wow. Page financed it himself. That's so how he knows. Could, you know, just have total control and then sell it to a company.
Yeah. And the result is kind of it's not kind of amazing. It's absolutely amazing that they recorded that record in the amount of it's amazing on any way that they recorded it.
Yeah. Well, I think the real story there is that it's the vision of Jimmy Page. I mean, he had been the session musician who had worked on countless sessions in the British music scene in the early 60s.
Yeah.
So he was exposed to what they were doing with rock arrangements and R&B and folk and all that sort of stuff. So he had that background. The Yardbirds brought him in so that he could get some live performing experience. That's the band, obviously, that Eric Clapton and Jeff Beck had come through. So he had some time with the Yardbirds. And that evolved into this vision of this band he wanted to put together that would combine this hard rock and stuff and these clever, inventive arrangements and a powerful voice and solid drumming. And he dreamt up this band that became one of the most major forces in rock music.
And let's talk about this rumor, if it's true, that Keith Moon named the band. Is that real?
I think both Moon and Entwistle have laid claim to that.
They have. To tell everybody that story, it's a pretty classic rock story.
Well, yeah, I think they're the Jimmy Page put forward this idea of a band, something of a super group, and one of them, Entwistle or Moon, said, oh, that'll go over like a lead balloon, which then mutated into Led Zeppelin.
Then
Peter Grant, the manager, changed it from LEAD, Led Zeppelin, to LED, so that people here in America wouldn't pronounce it Dire Maker.
Right, which they, right. You know, you mentioned Peter Grant. Whoa, what a! I mean, you know, in doing research for these Zeppelin gigs that you guys have done, in this one, how many insane Peter Grant stories are there? I mean, there've got to be like a mountain of insane.
I'm still going through the insane Jimmy Page and Robert
Plant
story.
Well, I mean, Peter Grant is like this notorious insane manager.
Yeah,
and
but you had to be back then.
Yeah,
apparently,
but
there were no rules.
He was totally nuts, though, from what I understand. I mean, did you guys watch the HBO Vinyl show?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what did you think of it?
I just saw the first episode.
Okay. So you saw the pilot?
Yeah.
Okay. It gets worse.
Okay. Because, I thought it was pretty bad.
Well, I liked the pilot. I thought the pilot was good. And whatever flaws the pilot had, slowly, episode after episode, the flaws began to grow and what was good about it began to get small.
Oh, boy.
And I stopped watching it. After episode 5, I stopped watching it. But in the very first, first episode, the pilot, they got a guy playing Peter Grant in it.
Right.
And they got a guy playing Plant and a guy playing Page.
Right.
And, well, everybody. They've got the whole band in there at one point. The guy playing Grant was what's his name? He played, he played John Lennon in 2 movies.
Oh.
Oh, man, and I'm blanking on his name. He played John Lennon in 2 movies. And for a while there, it was like, okay, all this guy's going to do is play John Lennon, like in everything he does. And I can't remember. Now we'll find out.
He's an intense British person.
Ian Hart. Ian Hart is his name. He played John Lennon in 2 movies, and then he ends up playing Peter Grant in this show Vinyl. But Peter Grant was larger
than life. He was huge.
Yeah.
Big guy.
Yeah. And I love that in Song Remains the Same, which is really one of the most pretentious concert movies ever made in the history of anything. And I saw it 700 times in the theater when I was like 12 when it came out. Peter Grant has like a subplot in that movie. Like everybody's got like a plot. And Peter Grant has like a subplot where he's like a gangster. Like a badass gangster. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. All right, but let's talk about you guys personally and your connection to Zeppelin and your discovery of Zeppelin. Judith, tell me a little bit about how you came in touch with Zeppelin, how that worked out for you.
Through the same way I came in touch with most of the music I came in touch with when I was younger, through my older brother's album collection.
Right.
and the fact that his room was right next to mine, so I got to hear all this great music. And Led Zeppelin, there's just something... So there's so much raw emotion in all that this music that it just drew me to it right away. And and of course, I like to rock as well.
So, well, yes, but, you do.
But I think, when I was younger, probably everybody was talking about Stairway to Heaven, and it was the song that everybody has to learn first. And, but I think Since I've Been Loving You is, for me, is just one of those songs that just has been there.
Yes, yes, it has. And we'll get you get to hear that on Thursday night.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you singing that?
I am.
Yeah, baby.
She's been agitating for about 3 years yes. to sing that song.
Exactly.
She's been working on us.
Lindsay, if you ever do Led Zeppelin, I want to sing.
Well, that's one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite Zeppelin songs of all time, without question. It's one of my favorite Zeppelin songs.
There's no bass on it.
Yeah. No?
It's John Paul Jones playing organ pedals.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You know, so Jared, let's go back real quickly for people who, because we've had Richard and Lindsay on 15 times. but I want to talk a little bit more about you. The last time you were here was for the Janis Joplin thing. Now, how did you get into music? You mentioned your older brother.
Right. And my father, who was a barbershop singer.
That's
and
right.
So, yeah. You know, so yeah, lots of family vacations around barbershop. Contests and
yeah.
choruses and yeah, and so lots of singing and harmonizing.
Yeah,
and
did he do the whole thing with the mustache and the vest and the?
He did have the mustache and the vest and the spats.
The spats. That's great.
I know that's the only reason I know the word spats.
Right.
But yeah.
What was that like though? With all the barbershop stuff, that must have been kind of fun.
You know, it really was actually. I mean, it seems you know kind of, I don't know, nerdy or something now to say, but it was great. It was. I mean, all these. People really passionate about singing and you know they were huge adults to me. They were probably in their 20s. I don't know, but
yeah.
they were all these older people who were just so into what they were doing and so you know so they would break out into song constantly. So
yeah.
You know you'd be in the hotel and at a convention and you'd hear music everywhere and
yeah.
So it was just this constant thing and. So between that and church, and it was just.
That's when now did you sing in church? Is
I
that
did,
how you started?
Yeah, sang in the choir.
Yeah,
you know, as a good girl.
Did you have aspirations to be a singer at that time?
Yeah, I always wanted to sing. So
yeah,
yeah, and I got to sing then. Actually, I wrote a hymn when I was in fifth grade, and
uh-huh.
I got to sing it. And do a solo on the second verse, and it was
wow.
Yeah, it was kind of
cool.
Fun.
So the singing started in choir and in church, stuff like that. When did the rock part happen? When did you start wanted to sing rock?
Probably starting, I don't know, maybe 10.
Yeah.
You know, when I really started paying attention to the noise that was coming out of my brother's
right.
room. I was like,
right.
oh, what's that?
Yeah.
That sounds really interesting
yeah.
and cool. And then also, you know, just lots of radio constantly and,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And now have you been in a lot of bands?
I have not actually. I've been busy doing other things, and so I never got to do it. And it was kind of one of those things that I always wanted to do, but had no idea how to pursue it. And then, of course, you know what ends up happening? You go to Old Town.
Yeah. And how did you end up at Old Town?
I heard about it through a lot of people. Really wanted to learn guitar, but actually, I'd met Lindsay through a mutual friend and kind of started talking then and saw you play
you
your...
You start talking. Your... You auditioned for me
I
in
did.
A bar.
I did.
Melissa Etheridge was playing in the sound system. I said, Lindsay, I really want to sing Janis. Listen.
Yeah. And then you played... How'd the gig... Did you have fun
so
doing
it was
the
a
Janis
little pushy,
gig?
Maybe.
Did you have fun doing the Janis gig?
Oh, I had a blast.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was... Between Janis and Robert, you know, being able to sing both of them, I mean, those two really are my... dream people to be able to sing to
yeah.
be able to perform and so and they're kind of the yin and yang for me too and individually and collectively
yeah
know? I
yeah.
mean her with her clearly being a you know a woman a strong woman but this you know kind of masculine energy that she has
mm-hmm.
been Robert Plant you know definitely a rock god as they say
yeah.
but you know also with this feminine quality it's just so yeah I'm yeah
Well, that's cool.
Was great. I'm
that's
super
awesome.
Excited about Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, and those are, you know, I mean, it's, you know, you when you were here and we did the Janis thing, you know, you proved that you had some serious pipes, and you do
Thank
have some
you.
Serious pipes. And in order to do Janis, in order to do Plant, you got to have pipes, and you got them. So,
Thank you.
It's going to be fun. It's Great Moments in Vinyl. Zeppelin and Zeppelin 3 will be played, and it'll be this Thursday, 8 o'clock, at Martyrs, which is your home base.
Yes, they love us there.
They
so.
Do. And we got to take a break. Let's hear one more Zeppelin tune as we go to the break, and then we'll come back and talk more with Great Moments in Vinyl.
I see my friends coming riding me. to get a little gold. What did you bring me, my good friends, to keep me from the gallows pole?
Gallows pole. From Zeppelin 3. All right, we're going to take a break. You guys, hold on for a second. We'll come back and we'll talk more. And my guests are Great Moments in Vinyl, and you can hear them celebrate. 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 It'll be a celebration day. Yeah. So Led Zeppelin 1, Led Zeppelin 3, and it's Thursday night at Martyrs. When was the last time you were in Door County? When was the last time you were in Door County this time of year? This is an excellent time for a peaceful, relaxing getaway. Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort, the premier Door County vacation destination, invites you now. Enjoy hiking through the Ridges Wildlife Sanctuary. Visit Canna Island Lighthouse. Or just relax by the fire. Located on 27 acres right on Lake Michigan, Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort features staterooms, 1 to 2 bedroom luxury suites, fully equipped kitchens, fireplaces, balconies, an indoor pool, whirlpool, sauna, and so much more. Four seasons of safe, wholesome family fun awaits you at Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort. Call them for reservations today at 800-927-2492. That's 800-927-2492. Or you can see them online at bhycr.com. Ask about their special spring packages. Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort, the quieter side of Door County.
WGN Sports.
The Cubs just continue to roll.
They have those things going for them that you see from good teams. They can hold a lead. They tack on runs late. Everybody seems to contribute.
Can you imagine that? Do you ever think in your lifetime you'd be in a position where the rest of baseball is afraid of the Cubs?
No. Yeah. No.
You're the giggling? That's Santo in heaven.
That's right.
Unbelievable. The Cubs conversation. Always here on the station with the Cubs in our DNA. 720 WGN.
My brother-in-law actually did the Zola plan, and he lost 40-some pounds. And then my mother-in-law did the Zola plan, and she lost 40 pounds. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot. I lost 42 pounds. I couldn't be happier that I decided to do it.
I have lost 120 pounds. My self-confidence is through the roof because of Plan Z. I can now look at myself and be comfortable with who I am.
What Zola promises comes true.
You honest to goodness feel like you have someone in your corner.
You're not being deprived. You still have everything that you love about food.
My sister actually did this first, and she didn't tell me. I started right away, and I lost 28 pounds. I was never once hungry.
Hi, this is Zola from PlanZDiet.com. We have thousands of clients who love us so much for helping them lose weight and get healthier that they just wanted to tell you. Check us out at PlanZDiet.com. You can hear more stories there, too.
Like some water. Nick DiGilio, we're back here on 720 WGN. Great Moments in Vinyl. They're going to be doing a celebration of Led Zeppelin and Led Zeppelin 3, and it's this Thursday, May 12th, 8 o'clock at Martyrs. Now, Lindsay Cochran is here, Richard Pettengill, and Judith Wyrock, because she can. Lindsay, you were talking about some of the stories that you discovered, and you had like a couple of quotes, things like that.
Yeah, Robert Plant. I mean, we were talking about Led Zeppelin 3 and the courage of the band to put out such an album. It would have been very easy to just put out Led Zeppelin 2.5, you know, at that point. And here they come out with this experimental thing. Robert was quoted in an interview saying, "You can just see the headlines, can't you? Led Zeppelin goes soft on their fans," or some crap like that. The point is that when you make an album, you never know how it'll come out. We started rehearsing at the cottage to see what we wanted more clearly. And now that we've done Led Zeppelin 3, the sky's the limit. It shows we can change. It means there are endless possibilities and directions for us to go in. We won't go stale, and this proves it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, wow.
Yeah. And Richard, that's how you feel about the record?
Definitely. Yeah. I just thought it was such an incredibly admirable direction to go, you know?
And, well, they could be fearless at that point. And my gosh, They just done two concerts at Madison Square Garden for $100,000, which was $600,000 in today's money.
So and Peter Grant got about $500,000 of that. No.
But they made that much in one day.
It's amazing. Incredible. Yeah. It's, I mean, at one point in the 70s, nobody was making more money than Zeppelin.
No.
You know, Jets and all kinds of...
Famous headline in Melody Maker when Zeppelin was voted at the top of fan favorites. Zeppelin topples Beatles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they became one of the most legendary bands of all time.
And, for me, it was like I was a huge Cream fan, and I had just seen the farewell concert at Madison Square Garden.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm walking around New York City really despondent because my group has broken up. Mm-hmm. And then I walk by the Fillmore East, and there's a poster, a little article that says, British band steps in where Cream left off. And I'm like, yeah! Led Zeppelin. And I just ran out and got the first album.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Let's talk a little bit about seeing Zeppelin live. Is anybody, I mean, I know you have, Richard.
You know, I actually have not.
Have we talked about this? That
no,
he's never
I
seen?
Haven't either.
How is it that you've never, you were at Woodstock?
You know, there's no excuse for it at all. Not only that, I studied in England in 1974. I was there the whole year.
Oh, man.
And they played Earl's Court that year. And
yeah.
Where was I?
How did you not go to that?
I have no idea.
Well, let's, okay,
homework,
but,
doing homework.
Doing homework.
But then John Bonham.
Oh, right.
You had tickets.
So I never
you had tickets
to,
for the 80
yeah,
tour.
I
did
I
too.
To.
I can see Robert Plant with Alison Krauss.
No, that's good stuff.
Yeah,
man. I mean that's
and
really
with the
good stuff.
Shifters too.
Yeah. How about the? Did anybody?
I met Plant.
Anybody goes? Did you?
I did. Yeah. When I was leaving the radio station I was working at that time, and he had just put out the Now and Zen album.
Yes, I remember Now and Zen.
He came around. Part of my job there was to get the artists in front of a microphone to record station IDs.
Right. Well, that's cool.
Meet Robert Plant.
Very, very cool. I saw him twice. I saw Zeppelin twice. Nice. I saw him in 75, and they were phenomenal. And in 77, they were terrible. And that, again, was a cursed tour. The whole
was
tour.
The lawn chair tour?
Yep. Well, it was a folding chair.
Folding chair.
Yeah. Yeah, but they were such a, you know, such an incredible, incredibly important, important band. And let's talk about the first record real quick. There are an insane amount of great songs on that record. And now, was that written as quickly? I mean, it wasn't written as quickly as it was recorded, but do we know how the songs came to be?
Well, actually, other people wrote most of those songs.
That's
yeah,
absolutely
sorry.
True. No, it's absolutely true.
And Page had played around with some of them in the Yardbirds,
mm-hmm.
You know. And
Dazed and Confused,
yeah.
For example. I mean, that was actually a folk song. A guy named Jake Holmes wrote that back in 1964 or something.
Well, we've talked about this on the air a lot here on the show a lot. The Zeppelin is notorious plagiarizers. And, you know, the fact that so many of their songs read Plant and Page, you're like, come on.
Really?
Like, you wrote the Lemon Song? Really? You wrote the Lemon Song?
Right.
But there was, you know, a lot of those old black, you know, blues guys, they got their money, or at
yes.
least their estates got their money.
Right.
And they should have.
Yeah.
You know, interestingly, You Shook Me. Is that the song I'm thinking of? It was actually it was an instrumental. Earl?
Right.
Earl, what's his name?
Yeah. And then Muddy Waters played on
it? Yeah. It was an instrumental that Leonard Chess took and had Muddy Waters sing on top of.
Right.
And then Zeppelin got a hold of it. So it wasn't even Muddy's tune or Willie Dixon's. It was
right.
Earl.
Yeah. Who wouldn't see a dime of the
exactly.
of the money. That's yeah. It's incredible. Now, yeah.
No, I was going to say, he's the one that came up with the riff, though, that you remember from You Shook Me Down. Bah,
yeah.
Bah, bah.
Yeah.
That sort of.
Now, Lindsay, your first experience with Zeppelin, do you remember your first experience?
I'm ashamed to say it because they didn't impress me. But remember, I was an only child. I didn't have the benefit of older siblings
right.
or a father who took me aside and
right. Here's
me
Cream.
Out of this stuff.
I'm an only child too, but my dad said, "Here's Cream."
Well, so. I'm sitting on a sofa at my girlfriend's house, ninth grade, and her brother puts on Led Zeppelin I. I remember looking at that album cover, the four faces, and thinking, "Wow, this is different." But it wasn't one of those light bulb moments. Because
yeah.
see, now I was playing trombone at that point. And Chicago was my band, Blood,
of
Sweat,
course.
And Tears.
Yeah.
So I was like, Led Zeppelin, I don't see any trombones in this group. I
right.
I like them.
Right. Right. And you never got to see them. But tell everybody about some of the shows that you were at Woodstock.
Yes.
And some of the other shows you just casually mentioned.
Yeah.
That, you know.
I mean, my first date was when I was 13 and I went to see Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, and Big Brother, and the Chambers Brothers at the Nassau Coliseum on Long Island. And my dad drove me and this date, you know, so we got three tickets because I was 13.
And now, all right, you know, we always ask the first concert. Let's go through that one more. You just said yours.
Yeah.
And Judith, what was your first concert?
My first concert was Styx Paradise Theater.
Yeah! And Lindsay, yours was?
I bet it was Chicago. Yeah.
Chicago, yeah. And by the way, did you guys see the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony on HBO?
No, no.
Because you know, Chicago got inducted this
right.
year. Jeez. And a lot of the guys performed. They were great. They were great. The show, though, was dominated by Cheap Trick. And Bunny Carlos was there, and I was like very happy that he was, because he's not touring with the band, he's not writing with them anymore, which made me sad. But I was so glad to see him there. But they like the live performance part of it. Yeah, it was all Cheap Trick, and then at the end they all came out. Everybody came out. Steve Miller and everybody who was inducted, they all came out. All the horns were out there from the Chicago, and they did Ain't That a Shame. It was a Cheap Trick cover of Ain't That a Shame. So.
Steve Miller had a really good time, didn't he, at that?
Yeah, he spoke very highly of
He just had nothing but praise for everybody.
Including the guys, the Black Keys, who inducted him. He had a lot of nice things to say about them,
these guys?
Yeah, these guys don't know me. So, all right, let's hear one more song before we break, and then we'll come back after and talk more. All right, this is all Zeppelin, and you can hear it all Thursday night at Martyrs at 8 o'clock with Great Moments in Vinyl.
I can't quit you, babe. So I'm gonna put you down for a while. I said, I can't quit you, babe. I guess I got to put you down for a while. Said you messed up my happy home. Made me mistreat my only child.
Yeah. All right. More Zeppelin, more great moments, more great moments in vinyl coming up. We'll take a break here at 720 WGN.
2, 3, and...
Falling all around time, I was on my way. Thanks to you, I'm much obliged for such a pleasant stay. But now it's time for me to go. The autumn moon lights my way.
All right. And then Gollum, the evil one, creeps up and sneaks away with her. All right. That's from Zeppelin 2.
That's going to be one of our uncars.
Okay. I want to specify. That's not on Led Zeppelin 1 or Zeppelin 3.
We didn't run that. Get that one by you?
Well, by the way, this is Great Moments in Vinyl. Always a blast to have these guys in. Judith, Richard, Lindsay, you guys are just great. I love it when you come in. And you guys are celebrating the work of Zeppelin with Zeppelin 1 and Zeppelin 3, two of the greatest albums of all time. Thursday night, this Thursday at 8 o'clock at Martyrs. And tell everybody how they can get tickets. We have a link on our Facebook page, but it's facebook.com/NickDShow.
Martyrs has their website, martyrslive.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you guys...
put a plug in for the Facebook page for Great Moments in Vinyl.
Yeah.
And we also have a website, greatmomentsinvinyl.com.
Greatmomentsinvinyl.com. Bookmark that. And these are incredible musicians celebrating the work of great artists. And it's just a blast. Real quick story about Ramble On. As I mentioned earlier, Zeppelin II was the only album that I ever owned on like every available. I didn't have it on reel to reel. They did have reel to reel at the time. I didn't have it on reel to reel, but I had it on album. I had it on CD. I had it on 8-track, and I had it on cassette. And here's my story about the 8-track of Zeppelin II. I'm sure that if you remember 8-tracks, and some of us in this room do. I have a lot of musicians in, and there are a lot of times when I'm in here with people who are much, much younger than me, like, say, 25, 26, 30 years younger than me, and I mention 8-track, and they just kind of go, I have no idea what you're talking about. And so anyway, the thing about the 8-tracks were, at times, in order to fit the songs onto each track, they would have to fade out in the middle of a song.
The next track,
and it would go, and it would click over to the next track, and then it would fade back up. It happens to Ramble on Zeppelin II, on the 8-track, and it would always drive me absolutely nuts. And because it was right when he goes in Gollum, the evil one crept up, click, and it comes up. It slipped away with her. And I was like, what the hell, man? Gollum just shows up, and you're going to fade to black on me? Ridiculous.
She's so evil.
Yeah. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about some of your favorite concerts that you've ever seen, because we're going to be launching into that. Because I'm so inspired by last night's terrific Amy Mann show at Old Town. By the way, she's playing tonight, and I highly recommend. I know, Richard, you're going to be there. And if there are tickets available, I would highly recommend you going. She was great. What are some of your favorite concerts that you've ever seen, some of your favorite concert memories? I'm going to save you for last.
Okay.
You were at Woodstock, so you're last.
Yeah, tell about the time that he was on stage with Hendrix.
Yeah, exactly. We can go back to some of the stories. So, Lindsay, what about you? What were some of the moments in concert-wise that you've seen?
Pretty esoteric tastes in music. I remember a King Crimson show that I loved out at Poplar Creek a long time ago. The reformed,
King Crimson played Poplar Creek?
The reformed version with Adrian Belew, Robert Fripp, Tony Levin, Bill Bruford. So it was quite a lineup.
Wow.
And, they did this really interesting thing at the end of the songs. You know, a lot of bands, you hit that last chord and the drummer thrashes around. They would like hit this chord and go, ba. Was it? It was just really short.
That's it.
Yeah. Tight and concise. None of this big showy ending.
So. You know what's really crazy? One of my favorite concerts that I saw, because I have a friend who's way into prog rock, like deeply into prog rock.
Send him to this Led Zepp show.
And he lives in he doesn't live here anymore, but he used to live here, and he's like, you got to come and see this band, Gong. And I went to go see them at House of Blues, and it was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my life, but it was awesome. And these guys were insane. Like, these guys, just the I can't remember the leader's the name of the leader of the band, but he was like sort of a notorious prog rock figure. And there's this great story, this pop culture story. If you can look this up online, Sherman Hemsley from the Jeffersons was obsessed with Gong. Was obsessed with this band. And there is a story out there about, like, how some guy, a journalist, got invited over to Sherman Hemsley's house in the 70s at the height of the popularity of the Jeffersons. And, like, there were, like, orgies going on and Gong playing and Sherman Hemsley walking around talking about Gong. It was just ridiculous.
Weird concerts.
Yeah.
I saw The Residents at Steppenwolf Theater when they opened their showcase on...
I've never seen The Residents. It's got to be pretty weird.
It was bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was strange.
All right, now Judith, what about you? Concerts that really blew you away, or moments that you loved?
Probably Santana was. I mean, just seeing Santana live is amazing.
Yeah,
so that was a phenomenal concert, and I really like jam bands, and so I mean, I was a Deadhead. I like the Dead,
mm-hmm.
and so pick any one of those shows that I saw, and they were all, you know, kind of varying quality as well.
Sure,
you know? But the fantastic shows and a great vibe at the show, and I saw Elton John, which was a great show. So probably
all right.
Realm.
Now, Richard.
Speaking of the Dead, the first time I ever saw the Dead was at Woodstock. And I didn't know their music at the time, so it was one of the bands that I saw there. I knew most of the bands at Woodstock, and I had all their albums. But the Dead, no, I didn't really know. And I was – it kind of changed my life. You know?
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so blown away by them. And everybody says that was a bad show because they were getting shocked. You know, they touched their guitars.
Right,
there were sparks coming off their guitars.
Right.
But to me, it was like mind-blowing, and I've never been the same since.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting because, you know, when people talk about – you know, the highlights of Woodstock. Yeah. Rarely does the Dead come up.
Well, they didn't want to be in the movie because they felt they were terrible. Mm-hmm. But now that the recordings have circulated and some of the video has been released,
yeah,
they were great.
And now I wonder, you know, if they had not been warned when they got off the helicopter at Altamont, if they would have gone on and what they would have how they would have performed at that.
Right.
You know, because they know. But they got out of Dodge, man. They showed up and went,
they heard about it. They're like, no, this is not
cool. We're out of here. We're getting the hell out of here right now. okay, you have another story that you can share with us? Another Led Zeppelin quote or memory or something that you're going to...
The thing right here, Jimmy Page talking about the early days of Led Zeppelin. I scrolled past it here.
Okay.
Bum.
Let me just remind everybody, Great Moments at Vinyl will be playing Led Zeppelin and Led Zeppelin 3 this Thursday, May 12th, 8 o'clock at Martyrs. You can check out greatmomentsandvinyl.com, and we have all the information and link on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NickDShow.
Jimmy Page talking about how he pulled all this stuff together. Led Zeppelin, he said, playing in my early bands, working as a studio musician, producing and going to art school was, in retrospect, my apprenticeship. I was learning and creating a solid foundation of ideas, but I wasn't really playing music. Then I joined the Yardbirds, and suddenly, bang, all that I had learned began to fall into place, and I was off and ready to do something interesting. I had a voracious appetite for this new feeling of confidence.
That's
you guys were on a mission.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now you guys wanted to talk about like your second album, because we always talk about the first. So the second album that you ever bought, you were thinking about that? What was it for you?
Mine was Axis Bold as Love.
Oh, man. And remind everybody what your first one was.
Oh, that was Meet the Beatles.
Meet the Beatles, that's right. And so, but boy, you went from Axis, you went from Meet the Beatles to Axis?
Pretty much,
oh, my God.
Yeah. I guess I wasn't buying a lot in those intermediate years, but then I heard Axis and Disraeli Gears one night at a cool party that my sisters were having, and that was the beginning. That was it.
Yeah. We only had an allowance back then, you know.
No real
income.
No, I know. I mean, the first album that I bought, as I've told before, is Paranoid, is Black Sabbath Paranoid.
Oh,
everybody find Ozzy. Please find Ozzy. And that was with like the money that I had made from like, you know, checking out the garbage and doing the stuff and the chores. And that was the first album I ever bought. So it was, you know, it was my parents' money basically, but they gave it to me. So what about the second album? What was it? Okay, first album?
My first album was Cheap Trick, actually, in color.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's a good one. Okay.
And my second one was actually Black Sabbath.
Was it?
Actually, I really like Black Sabbath. And then there was a whole conversation because I was, you know, raised in a church family. Like, what are you listening to?
And you brought Sabbath home.
And I brought Sabbath
home. Oh, man. Yeah. Surprised you didn't get excommunicated.
There was a conversation.
I bet.
I'm picturing War Pigs coming on.
Now, and I remember was it Mungo Jerry?
Yeah, Mungo
Jerry?
Jerry's where I started. And I think the second one was probably a Harry Nilsson album.
Uh-huh.
Of all things. So I'm hopelessly on hip in this room.
By the way, Amy Mann does play one. Speaking of Harry Nilsson, she does play one. But she played it in Magnolia. It was the song at the beginning of Magnolia. She closed with it. It was her encore.
Yeah.
Look forward to that.
I will.
But I'll tell you, the life changing album for me was Thick as a Brick.
Yeah.
That's where I saw what you know, Axis Bold of Love must have been for you. Is where I thought, oh my God.
I see kind of a pattern with you, Lindsay. You like the stuff that's like experimental and long.
And difficult, yeah.
Yeah, because Thick as a Brick is one cut. It's one.
One
track.
Yeah. It's one track. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I remember Thick as a Brick was a big one for me. And I remember really being freaked, speaking of Tull, because I'm a huge Tull fanatic. I remember being freaked out by Passion Play. It's like, what?
Oh, yeah.
What the
hell? I saw that live.
What? Did you?
I went to, oh my gosh, and it has the film, or even, you know, it starts with that heartbeat sound.
Yeah.
So for half an hour before the concert, boom, boom.
That's awesome.
Then there's a screen that's on the stage, and suddenly there's a little dot on it that goes, boom, boom.
Man, I'm telling you.
And then, you know, those extraneous sounds, other little musical noises, and blips and flops and all that. That starts in. So that's going for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Before it finally, you know, lights go down, the band comes on the stage.
Yeah.
I love Passion Play.
Oh, yeah. That album freaked me out. The album cover with the ballet dancer laying on her back.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what the hell is this?
Blood coming out of her
mouth. Yeah. I was like, what's going on?
I'll tell you what this is. This is the story of the hare who lost his spectacles.
Very
a
good.
Quote from the album that no one gets.
Yeah, it's very good. Okay, Thursday night, it's Zeppelin 1 and Zeppelin 3 at Martyrs at 8 o'clock. Great Moments in Vinyl. Check out greatmomentsinvinyl.com. Incredible musicians. Very quickly, before we let you go, and you guys play one more to get out of here, what's up next after Zeppelin? What are you guys thinking about next?
Van Morrison.
Oh, boy.
Astral Weeks and Moondance.
Oh, my
Steve
God.
Dawson
you're gonna
of
do...
Dolly Varden is yeah. going to be the main singer for that one. Richard will be
You're doing Astral again. Weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
With flutes, with strings, with
and you're obviously. I mean, are you gonna like? Are you gonna stop and like tell stories in the middle of that one?
Here and there. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Because
I just that to me that album is like that's one of those records where I don't listen. I just it starts and then it, when it's right. over, it's over.
Well, we're doing Led Zeppelin one. There's a couple of songs we can't stop.
No, that's true. Absolutely. Yeah. That's I don't know. But After Weeks is one of those. One of those albums that's like it's on another level.
It just flows.
Yeah, that's one of those records that you know from cut one through the end of the album. It's a must to listen all the way through. It's like if I put that record on, I'm not going anywhere for 40 minutes.
Right. Yeah. There's interesting stories there. I mean, how the whole thing came together.
Oh yeah, well Van Morrison, man, unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that'll be coming up, and you got to come back down and do some stuff from that.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. All right, cool. All right, thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you.
Let's hear one more. Oh yeah, and let's hear one more tune before we let you go.
Okay.
Wanna tell you about a girl I love. How she looks so fine. She's the only one that I've been dreaming of. Maybe someday she will be all mine. Wanna tell her that I love her so. I thrill with her every touch. I need to tell her she's the only one I really love.
Yeah. All right, well, there you go. You guys did a B-side here. Nice job. All right. So much fun having you guys in. Judith, great to have you back.
Oh, thank
Please
you.
Come
Good
back anytime.
To see you again.
And Richard, always a pleasure. Lindsay, you're the man. Great Moments in Vinyl. Check out greatmomentsinvinyl.com this Thursday. Go check out some Zeppelin. Hear some great stories. And it's at 8 o'clock at Martyrs, and it's on this Thursday, May 12th. All right, we'll take a quick break. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.